الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدنه ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله، فصل وسلم على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كما أنت أهله، وافعل بنا كما أنت أهله، فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة.
Before starting the surah, where we ended off the last time, where the discussion was about that when Dajjal will finally emerge in the world, or if he has already emerged, and whatever powers have been described for him in the ahadith, how will he manage to get those powers? Certain ulama have the view that it will be clearly only magic, sihr. It will deceive the eyes of people and they will think that with him is moving mountains of bread, mountains of rivers of water. They will feel that he is flying in the sky, whereas he will not be flying. So that is one view, it will be only clearly magic. And another view is the view which perhaps fits in more with the ahadith and what our ulama have mentioned. In the past there was a group called the Zahiriyya, and the amal was always on the zahir of the ahadith. And famous amongst them was the great muhaddith of his time, Ibn Hazm Zahiri. And one of the famous kitabs that he wrote was Al-Milal wa Nihal, regarding the different groups that will come out in the world. And for a person who is a Zahiriyya to jump from the ahadith to another, what we call to deduce, to make qiyas, to say it could mean this, that was very hard. They would always hold on to the ahadith. But for some reason, Ibn Hazm Zahiri, in this matter regarding what Dajjal will bring in the world, he also found himself forced to jump and to make another deduction which was not the zahir of the ahadith itself. And he explained, إِنَّمَا هُوَ مُحَيِّلٌ, that Dajjal will be a master of hila. Hila means tricks. يَتَحَيَّلُ بِحِيَلٍ مَعْرُوفَ, he will be able to do unique tricks and acts. كُلُّ مَنْ عَرَفَهَا عَمِلَ مِثْلَ, whoever will be able to learn the secret of the trick will be able to do the same thing after him. Now in that one sentence which he mentioned, a lot of history is hidden. The first thing is the word hila, what does that mean? So to explain hila, he explains, in his zamana there was a certain man who used to tell the people around that there is one man sitting in my room, that you all can't see him but he will talk. And people would come and witness, whereas this man himself would be doing the talking. And that room was built in such a manner that when he would talk, this voice of his would move, and the walls had certain holes in them which would cause his voice to go through them, and another voice would thereafter come out with the words slightly changed. Now it's something we may never understand how to make it. In the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a man which we know as Samiri, and he made a calf in a very similar manner. What ta'alluq he had with Dajjal, it's something that Allah tabarak ta'ala ever gives the tawfiq to explain. But he did the same thing which really Dajjal will do when he comes out, and which that man was doing in that zamana. He made the calf in such a manner that whoever will read the books of tafsir will understand that in the calf it was all the way he made it. That whenever the wind would blow, it would go through that calf in such a manner, causing a voice to emerge from it. The calf was a murakkab made up out of hila, a trick, and there was little but magic included. With the little magic and one trick, he was able to make the whole Bani Israel fall in sajda in front of that calf. This will be the trick of Dajjal. It will be a hila, a trick. When Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam in his zamana, according to many mufassirin, when his mulk was taken away, and for a few days somebody else sat on his throne, whoever that person was, however it happened. But according to many of the mufassirin, during those days, that person who sat on the throne began teaching the shayateen certain tricks, and they began writing it down. Later on, when Quran was revealed and it was presented to the Jews, then the Jews looked at Quran, and Quran said, look at your Torah, you will see it's the same. So one of them said, we will not look at the Torah, rather we will look at those books that we got from that zamana. Those that so and so person had written, on which ulama mentioned it was a murakkab of magic, it was a murakkab of certain tricks. And that was, they said, that we will hold on to this, we will not look at what the Torah got to go. So there were certain tricks that Dajjal was able to show people. Whoever would learn it from him would be able to do the same thing. And according to many, it is through these tricks mixed with a little magic that Dajjal will be able to create the power which he will have the day that he will come out in the world. And it is through these tricks, according to me, that what we find in the world moving, technology, science, it is all a murakkab of this very same bag of tricks. In Western circles it is called Kabbalah. In Islamic circles it is called Sihr and Ma Unzila Ala Al-Malakain Bi Babila Harut Wa Marut. In Jewish circles it is written Ma Kataba Asif, what Asif had written for the people, the shayateen. Quran has mentioned what the shayateen taught the people. Whatever it is a bag of tricks. And whoever will learn this bag of tricks, and as Quran has made ishara, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُوا لَمَنِ اشْتَرَاهُمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ. Whoever will purchase this bag of tricks understands very well that in the year after he will have no hissa. There will be no portion for him, but still he will be prepared to take this dunya. So having that in the back of our mind, now we will start Surah Kahf. And in every verse we will see a certain word which Allah Tabaruk Tala has mentioned. We are the mukhatab of the surah. So we will not look what happened in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, what happened after the time. We will look at we are the mukhatab. Quran is speaking to us, every single one of us. The basis of the Dajjaliyat, of the fitna of the Dajjal, is what everyone is well aware. It is called a theory of evolution, irtiqa. And the theory of evolution basically means this here, that there was nothing from which everything came out. Whether it was called as a big bang and the world was set into motion, or whether it is said that there was something without eyes, it moved a little bit and eyes came out. There was something without ears, hearing, it moved a little, rolled a little, ears came out. Then a time came where a monkey came out, he moved a little, rolled a little, his tail fell off, his hair fell off, and then suddenly man started walking. It was a nazar, nazriya, a belief, a philosophy of nothing moving gradually into something. To deny the beginning and to accept only after. It was a nazriya that made no sense, but it was so vital for the work of the Dajjal that the whole world from the beginning up till today has been made to accept this nazriya. Darwin's theory of evolution is one of the most stupidest theories ever taught. But any university you go to, any school you go to, no professor will be ready to say it makes no sense. The head teacher of science himself will agree that science itself shows Darwin's theory cannot make sense. But he will say there are many things that we don't understand but we are forced to accept. Otherwise we are not allowed into this door. This is one theory which the entire fitna will be based on. That who started the whole thing? No one started it. Allah Tabaruk Tala starts this verse of Quran, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah means one thing, who started the whole thing? Allah started it. The whole fitna is based on who started it. No one started it. Who is doing it today? You are doing it. Nobody else. Alhamdulillah means who started it? Allah started it. Who is doing it today? You are not doing it. Allah is doing it. So that one Alhamdulillah came to break the entire Darwin's theory of evolution, upon which the entire fitna of the Jahiliyyah shall be based, was based. Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihil kitab. Abd means a servant who is very low. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says that Allah who started everything sent upon the servant who was very low a kitab, a law, a philosophy, that if he had to hold on to this kitab, he would be going up higher and higher. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala also desired irtiqa, there must be an evolution. Man from a very low state must go higher, 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 until a time will come one day when he will be the king of the worlds. He will be sitting in Jannah ordering whoever he wants for whatever he wants. There will be irtiqa, but a proper irtiqa. From a low state of an abd, a kitab was sent down and he was going to go higher, higher, higher. And the fitna of Dajjal is the exact opposite. That the irtiqa was also demanded. You must go through stages of evolution, where you started from zero, from nothing, and then you were a monkey. And you will carry on, carrying on, eternal time will come when you must become God yourself. Which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, the one who will go the normal way, he will reach high. And the other one will be asfalu safilin, will go very, very low. Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. Walam yaj'al lahu iwaja. In the theory of Dajjal, it is only crooked. No mind which has any sense has ever accepted this theory. Only that person who will accept that theory whose mind has become crooked. Which Mulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahimullah spoke to the people of his time. And he said, if the shoe is crooked, meaning if the theory is crooked, and if your leg then manages to fit in that shoe, then never ever say that your leg is straight. You will have to accept that your leg is also crooked. So he said to the people, the theory that you all are trying to make us accept is a crooked theory. And you are saying it makes sense to me. So it's not that the theory is straight, it is that your brains are now gone crooked. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. Allah tabarak ta'ala says, in this theory of Quran, there is nothing that is crooked. But in another theory, there will be a lot of crookedness. Whoever's mind becomes crooked, he will see it that way. What is right will now become wrong for him. What is wrong will become right. If Adam alayhi salam married Hawa radiallahu anha, he will say, no, Adam must now marry Steve. He will find no right in what is right. He will only see right what is wrong. In darkness, he will find that that is good. In light, he will find that is weak and that is bad. Upside down, the whole thing. Qayyima, Allah tabarak ta'ala says, this is a theory which will stand through time. Qayyim, strong. The theory of Quran will never change. But the theory of Dajjal is such a theory that every day, some new thing comes about which causes the old theory to be forgotten. So much so, even the theory of Darwin, which is the basis of the Jahiliyyah, people who are supporters of evolution themselves have written that we ourselves are convinced a time will come in history where this theory will be written in the books of history and people will laugh at it and will wonder how could such geniuses ever have accepted a theory like this. Many other theories of them have already been gone, forgotten. There was a capitalist system, there was a socialist system, different systems trying to bring one tariqah, all forgotten. Allah tabarak ta'ala says, one system, qayyima, will remain till the end of time. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا قَيِّمًا. So Allah tabarak ta'ala started of Surah Kahf with one, that the entire Dajjaliyyah will be based on a crooked system. It will be based on a system where Allah will be denied, somebody else will be called, zero into nothing. And a deen system will be a system which is straight, where Allah is everything. The system theory of Dajjal will be a system which has no qayyumiyyat, it will never stand. It will always change. It will always be proven wrong. The theory of Islam is a system which will always go straight. Thereafter Allah tabarak ta'ala says, لِيُنذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِنْ لَدُنْهُ. In this Quran that has come down, Allah tabarak ta'ala has sent it to give a great warning. Inzar is a great warning with a great amount of feeling. Allah has given a great warning of ba'san shadid. In the Arabic language, ba's normally is translated as war. But really, ba's is the banging of two things. When one thing hits against something else very hard, then you will say that is ba's. And ba'th can be now taken as war, because in war you will see a sword hitting against metal and you hear the big clank. So that is called ba'th. And ba'th can also mean when that bomb is falling and it goes bang, then that is ba'th. And when that gun is fired and what it hits, that is ba'th. So Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says to give great warning of ba'san shadida, of a great bang, great wars. The world has called it World War I, World War II, and the wars before in the time of Sahaba radiallahu and after. And all these wars were fought on one basis, that to bring Allah in one's life or to take Allah out of one's life. So Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says in this Quran, a great warning has come of ba'san shadida, of terrible wars. But in these terrible wars, it will be a war min ladunhu, a ladunni war, meaning a war which people will be fighting, not against people. When man will fight against man, you will say that is a normal war. The word ladunni can be understood. Example, we say these two types of knowledge. One is ilm, which you get from your ustad, he taught you something. And one is you say there is ilm ladunni. I had a ustad, he was teaching me, but certain things came directly in my heart. It came from Allah's side. There was no wasta in between. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, these wars will be a war, which will not be fought between man and man, between kuffar and Muslim, but it will be a war between fought between the enemies of Allah and Allah himself. In these wars that will take place, you will find it will always be the Muslim army, the lower, the weaker, hardly with any power. And they will be fighting a power which will be very strong, very severe, with every power at their feet. Yet whenever the war will take place, at the beginning the Muslim power will be pushed down. And slowly, day by day, suddenly this power will rise. Russia entered into Afghanistan. They were the superpower of the world. No country could stand in front. England entered Afghanistan at a certain time, where they said the sun of England will never set. No power could stand against them. And the people that they looked at, they said, within 3 days we will wipe out this entire land. Because those people had nothing. Israel entered where it entered into Palestine, in the view that within a couple of days the entire will be wiped out and we will be in charge of the whole. Gaza was a small piece of land with hardly any power. And the enemy landed on there thinking we will take over one shot. But every time when that ba' started, that war, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala showed the meaning of min ladunhu, that it will be a war fought between man and Allah himself. And the understanding will never be put in the hearts of the kuffar. How are they losing that war? They will see that their enemy has no power. The Muslims are weak, the Muslims are little in number, the Muslims are fighting amongst themselves. Yet every time they will go in with 20,000, they will find later on there's only 5,000 left. And another group will be sent, another group will be sent. Finally they say, we'll have to pull out. When asked, how did you lose the war? They will say, we have no answer. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, from the beginning, warning has been given, you are making war min ladunhu with Allah himself. لِيُنذِرَ بَعْثًا شَدِيدًا مِن لَدُنْهُ. And in these wars, وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. In these wars, many, many good people will have to give their lives. Many people will have to suffer. Many women will be killed. Many women, families will be destroyed. So Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, and Allah has given khush khabri, glad tidings, to those that will remain firm in these times, that for them there will be a reward which will be everlasting. Their difficulty will be a 3-day difficulty, a 30-day difficulty, a 30-year difficulty. But as soon as their eyes close, it will be ease for them forever and ever. وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. Whoever will read these verses of Quran, and he will see the fitna around him, the powers around him, and still it can't come in his heart that let me rather just remain firm. But my Allah has told me few days of sabr, and I promise you after that everlasting happiness. Which person won't remain firm? The only thing is read Quran with an open heart. وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. Thereafter Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, وَيُنذِرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. That in this warning of a war, that you are making war with Allah and you will never survive, who is the warning going to be given to? So Allah Tabarak Ta'ala here has opened up a big door. That Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, and the warning is primarily being given to those people, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا, who have said, اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا, that Allah, God, has made a son. God has given birth. In the world presently and from the beginning, it was a noticed principle that wherever the war was made against the Muslim, it was most of the time a war of Roman, of Christian, against the Muslim. Hardly ever would you find the Jew fighting, whereas we know the fitna of the Dajjal is Jewish. But the Jew would never be the fighter. The only time Jew will fight is in the time when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come down, when Hazrat Mahdi radiallahu anhu will wipe out the entire Christian force. So it will always be a Christian force that is fighting. And the shiar of the Christian is that they are the ones who have said God has a son. So Allah tabarak ta'ala said, primarily the warning is here being given to those people who have taken a son for God. However, Allah tabarak ta'ala could have easily mentioned the word Ibnun. Ibnun also means a son. And the Christians also say Ibnullah Isa alayhi salam, son of God. But in the place of Ibnun, Allah tabarak ta'ala mentioned another sentence. اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. The warning is for every single group which will hold on to this, that God has given birth. Now who says God has given birth? There's a world of difference between this is my son, I am God and he is my son. Because when you say I am God and he is my son, I am still the creator, I created him and made him my son. I selected him, I adopted him, I made him my son, I gave him a maqam. But I am still God and he is the son of God. But when one comes to the view that there is a father who gave birth to a son, then there is no God left anymore. It has come back to a theory of evolution, a theory of principles. There was a first principle from which a second principle just came out. There was a father who somehow was forced to give birth to a son. And when that son came out, does he have to be thankful to the father? He doesn't have to be thankful to the father at all. Because if a man makes zina with a woman and she gives birth, the boy doesn't have to say, Dad, thanks. If it wasn't for you, I would never come in the world. The father will one day become old, the son will become strong. In the theory of evolution, the old one must be taken out of the picture, the new one must come in front. Where it became a father and a son, the son became now the main focus, the father was forgotten. Where the Christians went on to father and son, they came on to the view that the father wished to punish all mankind. The son was ready to die for all mankind. If you want to worship, rather worship the son, forget the father. Where the Romans took their principle, it was there was an old father and birth was given to the younger generations. They were strong and the old were weak. The younger gods fought against the older gods. We will now worship the younger gods. Hindus also worship the result, the outcome. They're forgetting the beginning. Christians have worshipped the outcome. They forgot the beginning. Because no longer it was a God and creation, Khalik and Makhluk. It was father and son. And it's a natural thing that father becomes old, kick him out of the picture, worship the son. Every group that came in the world who worshipped somebody besides Allah, in the back of the mind there was always this. Persians had two gods. They said there is the god of darkness and the god of light. The god of light is a god who is kind, but he is soft natured, he can't do much. The god of darkness is a powerful god. The god of darkness perhaps came out of the god of light, but he took over darkness. Because of which they started worshipping the sun, because the sun will benefit, the god of light can't benefit. Christians went onto the same road. They would worship the sun so much, speak about the sun, they forgot the father. There is no father in the life. Zionists have taken the same road. Egyptians took the same road. Romans took the same road. The Greek took the same road. Every group that worshipped somebody else started worshipping the result, the outcome. First principle was forgotten, we are now coming on to the second principle. Abdullah Kevdet was a man in Turkey. When the push for the Turkey to come an atheist state, he was one of the founding members. And from France was the place where everyone knows that the entire Zionist mission started in France. Because of which after that there was a French Revolution. Before that there was an inquiry where they tried to catch the Zionists, they failed, the French Revolution took place and they took over the entire France. So during that time, many books were written in the French language to show what are we worshipping, meaning Zionists. So this Abdullah Kevdet was one of the founding members in Turkey. And from the French books, he translated over 70. And he would push it through Turkey and make the people read it to understand what is our view. So one of the worst books that he translated was called Aql-e-Salim. Indas aqle salim means a sound mind, meaning forget your old theories of Islam, come on to sound mind. So in the foreword of this book, he wrote, what are we worshipping? So he writes in this book that we, right, listen, is Hasha, it's something amazing to listen to. And in this one statement of his, a lot of ishara is hidden, a lot of mysteries are hidden. Why did he say this one sentence? But remember, he's an atheist. And atheists are those who say, we don't worship anyone. But there is no one in the world who doesn't worship anyone. Everyone worships. It is only who are you worshipping, the asal, or you are worshipping the result. So everyone who worships in the world, they say we are worshipping the result because he is powerful. A certain woman, atheist, Zionist, they asked her, who you worship? She said, I worship the shaitan. So the man asked her, how can you worship a shaitan? Don't you understand that he was created the result of God? She says, yes, but God is the one in the heavens and he is the one in charge of the earth. And a day will come when the two will fight. The one who's in charge of the earth has become very strong. He will beat the one who's in charge of the heavens. When they make sajda, they are making sajda to who they feel is the result. That there was a God at the beginning. So in that he wrote, first he is writing, what do we worship? He said, we worship the mind. We worship freedom. We worship a God, the God of virtue. But he says, the God of virtue is only a God after freedom. And thereafter he writes one funny sentence, he's translating. He says, Prometheus is not on the mountain of Caucasia. Prometheus is not on the mountain of Caucasia. Prometheus is a god in the Roman and Greek philosophies. Where he is an atheist, what he got to do with them? But this was one god in their philosophy, Prometheus, who was an outcome, a result, came out from the big god. And because he did some wrong, he was chained up, locked up. And a certain time came where he managed to go free. And thereafter he stole from the big god the power of fire. And he explained to the people, the big god was a zalim oppressor. He never wants you all to benefit with so many things. I have brought it to you all. After that, many people then started worshipping Mr. Prometheus. So what he got to do with Prometheus? So he says, Prometheus is not on the mountains of Caucasia, but rather he has reached into our hearts. His chains are long ago broken. What a sentence he mentioned. Something to think about, isn't it? So whatever he was intending by that sentence of his, that who are we worshipping, in the end of the day he was saying that we are worshipping an outcome. A result, we have forgotten the beginning. The beginning is old. And we have now come unto, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, the warning is given to every single group who will go onto this road. اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدَى. That from the top there was a baby given out. And when that baby came out, then what was going to be the result of the baby is what we see around us today. People who are making sajda to the shayateen, people who are making sajda to what they call the malaikatullah, bal ya'budun al jinn, it is only the jinn that they are worshipping. People who say we worship the son of God, it is not Isa alayhi salatu wasalam that they are worshipping at all. It is the result which they say came on top. Isa alayhi salam was not born on that day, he never died on that day. Somebody else was born on that day. Somebody else, they said he was locked up on that day. Everyone who is worshipping one, the outcome. And that is the khulasa of what the jaliyat is. That forget Allah who did everything. Put him in the haysiyat of a father, he just gave birth. He started off the ball rolling, it was just an evolution. He was there at the beginning like a monkey, na'udhu billah. And as man continued, he became stronger and stronger and stronger. The son became stronger than the father, rather fall in sajda in front of the son. And who is that son? That son is nothing but a shaitan. Who is that shaitan, whether you call him Prometheus, or whether they call him Asif Hiram, the great architect of the universe, or whether they call him Samiri, or whether they call him Sakhar? In our mind it is called one Dajjal, grand architect of the universe. And it is my understanding also, perhaps I am wrong, but people who have gone into the chambers of the Freemasons and have written what transpired. So they wrote that one question that is asked when you reach the Grand Master of the Lodge, that he's taking now, you are blindfolded. First you have been made to walk through where you could see, then you are blindfolded. When the blindfold is lifted, then they ask the person who wishes to be initiated, what did you see along the way? So he said, I saw the word G. written on the walls. So the man says, what does G mean? So the person says, G means the grand master. So he says, am I not the grand master of the lodge? So he says, no, I'm not speaking of the grand master of the lodge, I'm speaking of grand master of the universe. So the man says, that G, grand master of the universe, is the one that we all worship. So one alim wrote this here, and he wrote it in a way that he says that when the world speaks about God, so when G was seen, don't understand G to mean God. Rather, G means the grand architect of the universe. But when I read this here, a thought came in my mind that the word God itself, who knows what the word God stands for? That G in the word God itself got its meaning. Grand architect of the universe, which is the one they all make such that to. The remaining OD, whether it got a good meaning or bad meaning, Islam has given us one word, Allah. If it has to be translated, the creator of the universe, Khalik of the universe. But whoever will go on to the word God, a book of history can open up who made that word God. For which reason G is written in every Freemason lodge. That this G is the one that we are worshipping. May Allah tabarak ta'ala grant us some understanding. What if I said, if it's gone a little higher above the heads of people, understand one thing. That there is an effort being made in the world of Dajjaliyat to forget Allah and to come onto a crooked theory of evolution. Surah Kahf starts off, Alhamdulillah, it is all Allah. You are not Allah and the one before is not Allah. Allah is Allah. You are doing because of Allah and everything else was done because of Allah. In this theory there is nothing crooked, and this theory will remain through the time. Wars will be fought about this theory, which Allah said, I give glad tidings to those who are firm that they will always be successful. And as for those who go on the road that God got an outcome now, an offspring, then Allah tabarak ta'ala says, I give them a warning of such a war which I will be the one fighting. They will not be fighting sabab against sabab, but it will be asbab against the musabbib. May Allah tabarak ta'ala protect us from all fitna. May Allah grant us all understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana.